look into myself right now, I notice a wonderful mix of feelings there. There's one of beginner's mind. I don't know what territory we're going to be lunking into, these caverns of consciousness, of self-empathy with each other, and kind of in wonder and awe at what we're going to uncover and explore. I'm just excited about what I've been learning about self-empathy, self-connection, raising my frequency, astrology and focusing, and so many other things that we have available to us as technologies for self-knowledge. Wanting to start our class, our 6 weeks class here, by just getting connection with you guys. Particularly, I'm interested in what are the qualities, the essential being qualities that you'd like to be more of in your life. Could it be compassion or clarity or creativity or, I don't know, there's so many beautiful things, essential qualities that people can start to tune into on the being level. So the other part I want to do is I want to do a little bit of an interview with each one of you just for a few minutes, just by way of my getting more connection with you and us getting to know each other a little better and me finding out more what your essential interests are. So I want to talk to you a little bit about what essential being qualities you're wanting to step into more as your kind of sole purpose in life. And then I'm going to ask you other kinds of questions. So who'd be willing to go first and be the courageous Aries to break the ice here? I want to give a little bit of a background to my question. I was sitting, this is a little embarrassing, but I was sitting in my hot tub the other day and I was asking the universe for guidance. And after about an hour, I got bored. You know, I didn't hear any guidance and got out of the hot tub. And I started reading this wonderful little book called Recreating Yourself by Neil Donald Walsh. And he was talking about if we can just get in touch with what essential quality we want to be, we want to express, we want to live more fully. As soon as we started getting in touch with that, circumstances, possibilities, networking, all kinds of things will come into play that will start to show us a way to be more compassionate, to be more creative, to be more clear, to be more of whatever we're trying to be. And we don't have to worry so much about our life purpose as we do just getting connected with what essential quality we want to manifest in the world more. And then things will start to open up for us. So if you could pick any quality you want, essential quality you'd like to be more, what would it be?
Authentic.
Authentic. See? That's a wonderful quality. I love that quality. Authentic. Now that just opens me up and wants me to interview you, ask you a few questions by way of getting more connected with you, and the group will get to know you a little bit in the process.
Right.
So, authentic, is this like in relationships, in your work, with yourself? How does that look like? What arenas would you like to, your longing for authenticity coming from?
In my relationships, but even just in my way of being in the world. And I think that there's a constant sort of a layer of hiding and very selective revealing.
A little bit of a mask sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a shroud.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Here's a way of getting at it a little bit. This is a tool from the wonderful work of Susan Campbell, who wrote several good books. He has written several books, one called Getting Real, another one called Truth in Dating, all with the theme about authenticity. One of her techniques, and I'd like you to do this right now, if you would. Sometimes I pretend, me, like right now, sometimes I pretend I got it all together and it's all organized, when really I'm just riding by the seat of my pants. What would your sometimes I pretend be with me here right now?
Sometimes I pretend I'm, that really puts me on the spot because it's hard to formulate.
That's good. So just stay with that awkwardness. See, awkward. It feels awkward right now. Am I putting you on the spot? I am a little bit. And I want to a little bit. Just to let you feel, move through the pain, the shame, the embarrassment it takes to get to the authenticity. So say that. Sometimes, whatever you pretend about having a good answer to give the teacher or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'd have to think about it because I'm kind of connecting more with when are the times that I pretend and what are the circumstances like. Kind of, I'm looking more at the circumstances rather than what am I trying to pretend to be or
sure,
do.
Sure. Circumstances that you are less authentic than you'd like to be.
Yeah. So in my intimate relationships and certainly in my work.
Sometimes at work you pretend what?
I pretend that I don't mind doing my job.
Okay, that gives me a clue to that. Wonderful. And tell me just a little bit, what kind of job do you do?
I work on software projects at a large bank. I actually have a pretty good job, but it's not something that I really personally care about the results. There are aspects of my work which I find meaningful and that I enjoy, but there is this undercurrent of knowing that I'm doing it for a paycheck, and it would be neat if I could figure out, well, how would I really rather be spending my time and what would I really want to be contributing sort of in exchange for making a living?
Well, those are the very kinds of themes that I'm hoping to get into in the course of this course, too. That's why I put in the different things about astrology and focusing and all kinds of things about getting in connection with soul's purpose. An aspect of it is to get clear on what quality do I want to be expressing. The environment you're in sounds like it's not totally conducive to authenticity.
Yeah, the two words were authenticity and purposeful.
Purposeful, yeah. Something that you feel like you're making a difference or you're something important about it has meaning, purpose.
Well, that the purpose comes from within, where I'm choosing what I want to do and I'm going after it.
Your own inner sense of drive and passion and purpose.
Yeah, yes, that's it.
So then, with respect to the pretending, sounds like sometimes you pretend to be enjoying your job more than you actually are.
I don't know if that fits, but it's close.
Okay, good. Well, let's go to somebody else now. Who else has got their hand up?
My intent, my goals, my hope in answering your question off the cuff is to develop a stronger self-connection, self-acceptance, to be grounded in myself, and ultimately to be self-directed. Having self-direction come first rather than having self-direction come third or fourth.
You'd like to develop a stronger sense of inner guidance, guiding yourself, instead of it being the third or fourth thing you check on. So a stronger sense of connection to self for your own, to be guided by that connection to yourself.
I'd like to experience that for, let's try that for 6 months, and if I don't like it, I'll try something else.
Yeah. I love what Eckhart Tolle writes about that. When he says that all the anxiety and the fear and the suffering that we experience is because we get our outer purpose instead of our inner purpose. If we're connected with inner purpose, we wouldn't have all that fear and stuff guiding us all the time. And we could stay more connected with enthusiasm.
We might even be enthusiastic.
Might even be there and have some of that enthusiasm. Yeah, wouldn't that be fun? So, tell me something more about what you're enthusiastic about. What brings enthusiasm up for you?
Can you ask that question differently?
Yeah. What gets you excited?
I don't have any new excitements coming up. I got some leftover stuff for the same old activities that I used to be excited about. They serve a purpose, but I can't say that, you know, I don't come out of bed saying, all right, let me at it.
Uh-huh. I'm sad to hear that, and I'm confident by the end of the course you will be.
Good.
Because I've really been learning some fun, sweet things that if I catch myself early enough before I have to do it before I actually get out of the covers, techniques to get connection to that excitement, that waking up on Christmas morning kind of feeling. But I have to get real conscious and do some actual things with myself, my own attention, or else the jackals, the fear, the scarcity, the not enough time jackals will get me.
Yeah, the disbelief.
Disbelief, the hopelessness, the despair. Or it gets me. I have to be early. Early bird gets the worm, you know. You're a bird, be an early bird. Catch the worm for your breakfast plate. If you're a bird, be an early bird. But if you're a worm, sleep late. That's what Shel Silverstein once said. What does your relationship world look like?
Deliciously challenging.
Wonderful. Glad to get your attitude.
Yeah, well, it's the only attitude you can have.
Well, no, it's not, but it's the only one I would want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's rich in learning, occasionally frustrating, but it's probably one of the better aspects of my life in terms of educational growth experience.
Yeah. I think it was Marion Williamson or somebody like that who said, you can become a monk and move into a monastery and do meditation 10 hours a day, but if you really want to grow fast, get into a relationship.
Yep.
Wonderful. So here's something I'd like to know is, what do you love about you?
Oh, good one. What do I love about... You know, I'm hedging to say this. I'm not really confident. The question sounds like, what do you already love about you? And to be honest, or to be as truthful as I can be in the moment, learning to love who I am.
Wonderful. What a sweet place to...
I don't feel like I'm there yet.
Part of the process, and I'm delighted you're taking the course. That is an act of self-love. You know, it can be, could be, in your intention. But you can't love yourself if we're not knowing our essential self. I mean, just be based on bullshit. Something real.
Right.
You're supposed to.
Instead of having it being based on what other people want me to be.
Yeah.
Tired of that. It's my default setting.
Instead of having it based on other people's approval, be based on your own approval. Your own, not even approval, but your own appreciation. I appreciate that about you already, that you're wanting to learn to love yourself and that you're taking action to do it.
I lucked out with this course. It showed up at the right time.
Glad you're on the course. You're with us.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
Next. Hi. So tell me about the essential quality that you'd like to express.
If I had to choose one, I guess it would be fiercely beautiful.
Oh, wow. Beauty. So you have appreciation of beauty.
I do, yeah.
Bet there's some Libra in your chart. Beauty, you'd like to bring fierce beauty into the world.
Great. I have a background in visual arts and in writing and in community education. And I'd like to be able to weave that together career-wise.
I could see beautiful careers coming out of that combination.
That would be awesome. So I believe in that for a career path, but also just as a way of being in the world. I feel like the fierceness, I tend to give my power away or not own that. Fierceness and power, not in a violent sense, in a life-giving sense, and knowing that my voice matters. So courage goes along with that, too.
So it's like a fierce dedication to the beauty of life and expressing it.
Yeah, well put.
Protecting the beauty of life. See that coming together with the writing and the community building. It's kind of like stuff I do. I do writing and community building. And you teach people how to follow their art, follow their heart, follow their empowerment of their own voice, making their voice matter, giving it a place and an expression and a welcome. I could see you becoming a permissionary for other people as part of your own healing. Giving people permission to be the beautiful, authentic, creative, expressive voice of themselves.
I like that. I don't usually go first, so it would be awesome to have the courage to be the person who goes first and gives the other people courage.
Yeah. You're already seeing some possibilities for ways to find your courage and being a leader to support other people in stepping into their calling. Beautiful song is called, "When We Step Into Our Calling, We Become Bells for Everyone Else to Hear Their Own Inner Calling." Beautiful, beautiful song by a friend of mine. This is his first CD he just put out. I want to get it to everybody to hear it. How when we step into our calling, and I might even try it on this phone call. I might play it for a few seconds to see if people can hear it good enough.
I love the idea of becoming a bell. The idea of becoming a bell is beautiful to me, especially because bells as instruments are hollow, and that hollowness allows for the sound to be made.
Yeah, so it's like a certain empty space within themselves. There's a space that has to be there so that the bell fulfills its function.
Right.
Beautiful. I love that analogy. Hey, so I'm going to try this. I don't know whether this is going to work, but just because it feels like it's in the moment, and it's kind of, I'm going to play this song and see if you guys can hear it.
Come bells, calling to everyone else. Oh, come, come into your calling. When we come into our calling, we become bells, calling to everyone else. Oh, come, come into your calling. Oh, when we come.
Curious too to hear people's reactions to that song as we move along.
I am looking to show up and to not run away from telling my truth.
Wonderful, wonderful. I got some skills and stuff I've learned about how to dance in rhythm to the beat of your own soul and then enjoy it when it freaks people out.
That would be good.
Yeah. I want the focus to be on really being present when I trigger people, because otherwise I'll lose myself trying to please people. I just want to get good at people hating me. I want to get good at enjoying it, having people hate me, be triggered by me.
That would be hard. I don't want people to hate me.
And they won't if you really have empathy for their pain that you sometimes can be a catalyst for. They'll love you. They'll love you for the evolution it creates. Tell me more about the essential quality you'd like this authentic expression to be. Have to do with, well, had to do with courage, and had to do with authenticity, and others with beauty, and I'm curious what your particular snowflake unique flavor is.
Compassion.
Be in a place of just passionate understanding for people in whatever condition they're in.
Right. Presence.
Presence. Non-judgment, sounds like.
Yes, non-judgment.
When is it hard for you to stay in that place of non-judgment?
It's hard for me to not judge other people for judging.
Oh, there you go. That's a funny one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I call it, I sometimes slip into my jackal hall of mirrors inside of myself. I start judging them, their judgment of my judgment.
I get very irritated when other people aren't compassionate.
Yeah. Isn't that funny in a way?
Yes.
You know, Dr. Rosenberg's famous quote on that is that all judgments are the tragic expressions of pain and unmet needs. All of them helps me start to get into my compassion. So what are the judgments you're most afraid of hearing?
Mostly when my husband makes judgments of other people.
Oh, I see. Not even towards you. It's when someone's judging someone else.
Or towards me.
Or towards you. Either one, huh?
Yeah. I guess I want support in the direction where I'm trying to go in my life, and I get very frustrated to have to hear all the judgments. And
want support and encouragement for your life path and expression. And
yeah.
Overwhelming to you sometimes trying to help somebody else with their pain coming through as judgments.
Right. it's hard to help him with his pain. I don't know, I just get caught up in it.
When your frequency starts to fall, this is one of the things we'll be learning about in the course, is how to get my own frequency up before I try to raise somebody else's.
And mine is not up enough to help other people, and I long to do that.
A double drowning never helped anyone. And that's what happens sometimes when we jump in and try to help somebody when we're not in a strong, connected place with our essence. Not really in the place of compassion with the other, because we still need compassion for ourselves sometimes first. On connection with the beauty and power of our essential being.
Right. I need a lot of practice with that. And I want my husband to help me with that, but he's not in a place to help me. So that's why I take these courses and look for it in other places.
Well, I have a little saying that says, it takes a village to raise a consciousness or a conscious relationship.
Yes, I need a lot of support.
Wonderful. Well, I hope you can celebrate and congratulate yourself for nurturing yourself this way, for giving yourself access to some conscious community and getting the support that perhaps your husband wasn't able to give you, but now you're giving it to yourself. What a beautiful act of love.
Thank you.
Good. Who else do we have?
I think what I want to glean from this course is I really want to learn the tools in order to give voice to all of those things inside me. I come from a career background / upbringing, whatever, medical background, very logical, straight thinking, forward, let's dissect the situation kind of thing. Hasn't served me well in letting those in my life really in and know what's in me. I have a hard time expressing that.
You have a hard time expressing allowing others in your life to come in? I didn't quite.
No, not necessarily letting others come in, but seeing what's in me, sharing that with them.
Okay, so it's more about just getting more connected with what's really going on inside of you, what's alive in you, what's looking in you, so that you can be able to articulate it to other people.
Articulating it has been difficult for me. And also, there's a turnaround to that, and that is that I'm learning, I think, fairly late in my life, how to just be with someone in empathy and not trying to use everything I've learned about this or that, you know, or trying to diagnose it. Just let them be who they are and what they want to say right now.
Wonderful that you discovered it at all in your life.
Well, it's been come to a screeching halt and realization of that, and I've recognized that.
What I call need to be in the with people. Be with them, not fixing them or reacting to them or anything, but just to steep in each other's presence.
Right. And I heard recently something, I want to learn to listen with my ears and not my mouth.
That's great. I like that. I like that.
So,
I would also add my presence in my heart, but yeah.
Just learning to be more connected with me and giving voice to that. I still have children at home. You know, I want to make sure that they did not learn some of the patterns that I learned in communicating.
Sounds like one of the essential qualities you're wanting to be is presence.
Yeah. And in fact, I think that's something else that I've really been working on lately is just today, the present now. You know, when you talked about your pasteurizing and futurizing on your little synopsis of this course, I don't want to go back and I don't want to go too far forward.
Yeah.
Put myself out there before it's time to put myself out there.
Yeah, I don't want to pre-suffer the past.
Exactly. You know, and I have so much to enjoy right now. I have 3 children at home. I just want to savor those relationships.
Oh, I love that word, savor. That really brings me into the now. It's a good antidote for scarcity. It's just savoring. Bring just this moment with these children. This is the only moment you'll ever have with these children at this age.
Right. And I want to, you know how to deepen my relationship with my husband. He has been the leader in bringing me out.
Oh, wonderful.
So that has been a real gift to me. Hard one.
Tough, but you're valuing what it's doing for you.
But I can see the value, absolutely.
Wonderful.
You know, to also have the present time with him the same as with my children, and to teach them to do the same.
Through example.
Right.
I like it. And yeah, one of the little techniques we might go over at some point is how to give your husband surround sound appreciation. Just by way of closing our little interview, pretend for a moment that I'm your husband. You're telling me three things. One, something I've done, something about bringing you out or being the leader in this path of consciousness. Something I've done that was just real. And then I'm going to ask you how you feel about that, what feelings it brings up. Last thing is, what needs of yours it met to have me as your husband in that role play do that? Are you willing to let me do that role play with you?
Sure.
All right, so I'm him. Tell me what it is. What did I do that you're having this appreciation for?
Well, in this particular situation anyway, you really told the truth, your truth. I really saw what was inside. What you were thinking, what you were feeling, I finally saw it.
Gave you a gift of myself, my truth, my transparency.
Right. And with that goes, I'm feeling sorry that I didn't see it before.
So there's some sadness in you. You wish you had seen this earlier, but at least I revealed it to you now. When you get it that I opened my heart and soul and showed you what was in there, what feelings come up in you?
Initially, there was shock that, wow, I missed it. So there was an element of surprise. I felt a little scared, sad.
Wanting also connection to the present feelings. What's the charge now, these days, after we've gone through what we've gone through? What's alive in you about my showing you all these things?
I feel a lot more hopeful, jubilant, happy for me for having had my eyes opened and really have been shown a way.
Joy, jubilation, hope for the path. You're seeing some path opening before you, a clarity about it. Wonderful. Third part on this Technicolor surround sound appreciation is, what needs of yours did it meet to have me do that?
Even though the words may not have really expressed it, I felt that he loved me, by doing that.
That's your need for love.
Right.
Caring, valuing.
Connection. And that may sound like all of this was a real smooth thing that happened between us. It was not.
Big process.
A lot of hurt. And that pain went into that. Sure. There's still some pain. There's still a lot of pain. I'm trying to process exactly what that's coming from, how much I'm doing that to myself. Well, I know I'm doing all of it to myself, but
that's the kind of stuff we can look at, too. For now, what I'm hearing is just three parts. One, when I told you the truth of what was alive in me, what was going on in my soul. At first, it was triggering and shocking and brought up pain and things, but in the long run, it started to bring up joy and jubilation and hope and possibility for a direction in your own life. And it met your needs for connection and love, possibility. Okay, well, I just wanted to offer you that. You might even consider sharing some of that with your husband. I'm sure you have already. But it's fun to hear it in Technicolor. It's a way to feed your relationships, to feed the connection. Do that with ourselves. Write down what we've done, how we felt, and what of our own needs were met. Way of kind of recharging, replenishing, and growing our self-love with ourselves. And then from that place, I have this energy to give other people. I can give them Technicolor appreciation, too. So thank you. Okay, let's do the one more hand. Can you tell me a little bit about what your essential essence quality that you'd like to be even more expressive of?
Wholeness,
yeah.
Part of the spontaneous authenticity. That's part of the joy of living fully.
Be the wholeness, to be living a fully lived life in wholeness. So it's about the wholeness and the fully lived life.
Yes, and that is something that I feel great about progress and the path that I'm on, with the ability to grow a heart large enough to embrace everything, the non-triggered reaction to others' reactivity, and the turning skillfully to the self to connection.
What I'm hearing in the essay was something about wanting to be really self-connected so that you're not so reactive. You can kind of hold a space of acceptance for people and everything that's happening. Is that somewhat of the gist of it? To expand your ability to hold sacred attention, sacred space for people for healing purposes.
Yes.
What I'm going to be talking about, what we're talking about in general, is self-empathy, self-connection, presence to self, touch with our essential qualities so that we can stay present, so that we can be an accepting force for other people, so that we can kind of what I call take a vow of non-reactivity, that if I am really triggered and reactive, I'm going to sit with and be with that until I return to presence, so that, one, I can just enjoy my life and my presence, but then I get to give that gift of holding sacred space, sacred attention to other people. And when I do so in a really accepting way, the healing happens all by itself. I need to do about it, except accept. And hold an accepting space for another. That creates a space where they can feel safer to come out and express themselves more fully. And that more full expression moves their energy. When energy is moved, it starts to heal. And I really believe that most of the violence and most of the illness that we see in our lives comes from blocked flow of expression, of energy. If we can give it to ourselves, it'll help us have a more expressive expression of our own energy, and then we can offer that to others and just support the flow happening, and then health and healing and wholeness all come from that. So I want to start with a practice that I'd like us all to consider practicing for this 6 weeks that we're going to be in this class together. It's a practice of presencing oneself, practice of self-empathy. I recommend if you can do it at the first part of the day, it helps a lot. It's like the sailor who wakes up and puts a sail up and starts taking off, sailing off somewhere without looking at his compass. It's just not as effective. We could start each day by looking at a certain kind of compass. I'm going to call the compass tuning into our home frequency. Start each morning with tuning into our home frequency, even for a little while. Then we have our direction set. Then we have our GPS, I call it my good positioning system, is up and running. And then I become an attractor for what is in alignment with my essential home frequency self, instead of all the scary things my jackals would paint for me. And then I become an attractor for that. But one way to do it, and this is also answering, I believe it was Jay's question about how to get up in the morning and how to be happy to get out of bed. Suddenly I'm remembering an old joke from my Methodist minister from when I was 10 years old who said, there's two kinds of people in the world. One kind wake up in the morning and they say, good morning, Lord. And the other kind wake up in the morning and they say, good Lord, it's morning. And they're all freaked out and scared. I want to be the first kind, perhaps without the religious intonations, but love to be waking up in the morning saying, what an amazing morning. What an incredible possibility. I'm happy to have this chance to be these essential qualities that I'm learning that I am. There's even just a little piece of a song I want to play you that shows you the kind of energy I like to start my morning with. And I usually do. I start my morning with singing or reading beautiful, inspiring words, being really kind to my body by giving myself some yoga, some stretching, or a hot tub. Something that nurtures mind, body, and spirit. Something that nurtures my spirit is even just a few minutes of singing a certain way. So here's a song, the kind of song I like to start my morning with.
Do you want to sing open the morning? Do you want to sing open the day? Do you want to sing open the morning? Do you want to sing open the day? Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you want to sing open the morning? Do you want to sing open the day? Do you want to sing open the morning? Do you want to sing open the day? Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Oh
idea. So if I can start with some of that and just get my breath moving and singing and getting my energy flowing, and even if I don't feel like it, and I often don't when I first wake up, I'm crabby, I'm ornery, partly because I live in a gulch, and I'm a gulch person, and there's no sun in this gulch, and I have all kinds of good rationalizations for being grumpy and ornery. But I try not to feed that. I try to do something to start to move my energy and connect myself with the kind of energy and presence I want to have in my heart. One thing I do sometimes is I'll read or write a little piece of poetry, and I want to do that right now. I want to read you a little piece of poetry by Rumi. Then I want to get anybody's reactions to it. This is what Dr. Rosenberg calls remembering, to reestablish your membership in the family of joyful humanity. Reestablish myself as a member of a body of celebrators instead of whiners and whiners and victims that I can so easily get caught up in my consciousness. But I have to be active in my directing of my consciousness. Here's how Rumi put it. He says, "Today, like every other day, we wake up empty and frightened. Don't open the door to the study and begin reading. Take down a musical instrument. Let the beauty we love be what we do. Let the beauty we love be what we do. There are 100 ways to kneel down and kiss the ground. The breeze at dawn has secrets to tell you. You must ask for what you really want. Don't go back to sleep. People are going back and forth across the door sill where the two worlds touch. The door is round and open. Don't go back to sleep. I would love to kiss you. The price of kissing is your life. Now my loving is running toward my life shouting, 'What a bargain! Let's buy it!' Daylight, full of small dancing particles and the one great turning, our souls are dancing with you. Without feet, they dance. See them when I whisper in your ear? All day and night, music. A quiet, bright reed song. If it fades, we fade." Reactions to the poem and the song share. They have remembering connection to beauty.
I like the part of "don't go back to sleep." In my life, I tend to want to sleep to avoid.
There's a lot of us who want to pull the covers over our heads and just try to avoid the anguish.
Yes.
A lot of us do it in our lives. We don't have the fully lived life that we might otherwise have. I love it when I can just connect with this certain kind of joy, creativity, call it my essential qualities of myself. When I can get connected with that, then I want to get out of bed. And I want to be like I was when I was 5. When I was 5 years old, I remember very clearly I lived in Phoenix, Arizona. Wake up every morning before anybody else would get up, before the sun came up, and I would sneak out of my house at 5 years old, and I would get on my little red scooter that I had, and I would take off, and I would start going out into the streets of Phoenix. And I would just go up to somebody's house whose light was on, and I would go up to the door, knock on the door, and say, "What's going on? Are you having breakfast? What are you guys eating? I'm hungry." I had no doubt that I was a gift. I had no fear. And I was just in the excitement and the joy, and I just wanted to start living. I wanted to start engaging life. I was so excited. I remember being so excited that, is somebody up? Is somebody ready to play? I'm ready to play. I want to engage people in life and food and this whole experience. That's the kind of energy. That's the little child I want to remember. I want to come back to. A poem about it that says, "The greatest story ever told is of being only 4 years old, born comrade to bird, beast, and tree, and unselfconscious as the bee. Late explorer of each sense, without dismay, without pretense. Life's queer conundrums you accept. Life that sets all things in rhyme will make you a poet too in time. But there were days, O tender elf, when you were the poetry itself." So I want to read to you a little bit. We're going to start to get into some tools and some practices that you can do on your own by way of self-empathy. This is from the book called Frequency, The Power of Personal Vibration by Penny Pierce, talking about tuning into this amazing vibration, this energy, this consciousness of life itself, and finding tools and finding ways to remember how to tune into that, how to have true self-empathy for our true self, not just our misery and our unmet needs, but for our true self, beneath the misery. He says it like this. You have an amazing vibration inside of you, a resonance that conveys your soul's love, truth, abundance, and joy. It bubbles up from your tiny quantum entities, waving out through your cells and tissues to fill the space around you. Always there, and it remains dependably consistent. This is your home frequency. Remember when I first experienced this, I was doing a workshop with Richard Moss, Mandala of Being, and one day we sat for, I think, about 3 hours. One person in front of me was just saying, "Who are you?" And I would respond, "I'm a licensed marriage family therapist." And then they would say, "Who are you?" And I would say, "I'm a trainer for NBC." "And who are you?" "And I'm an author." This went on for like several hours. It was pretty boring for the most part, until the person said to me, "Who are you?" And my answer was, "I'm a bubbling Buddha baby full of joy and wisdom." And suddenly I felt my whole frequency light up. I felt my whole being come to life and to joy and to recognition and to relief. I found in that moment a name for my true essential essence home frequency. Goes on. She says, "This is your home frequency, the vibration of your soul as it expresses through your body. Call it home frequency because it conveys an experience of home that's as close to heaven on earth as you can get. Home frequency acts as a compass to attune your fluctuating daily personal vibration to this most essential, natural, high frequency energy. Your life stabilizes and unfolds with luck and enjoyment. Sit in your home frequency, you feel so fantastic and love yourself and your life so much that you wonder how you ever lived any other way. Ideas and answers that come out of your home frequency are always just right and further your soul's expression. Somewhat shocking, really, that it could be possible to lose your home frequency amidst the hubbub of life, but of course, we routinely do. Sometimes your home frequency asserts itself spontaneously, but more often you need to seek it, invite it in, and merge with it. Learning to find, relax into, and share your home frequency is the key to transforming your life and entering into the intuition age, graduation from the information age into the intuition age. The way Wayne Dyer said it was, begin to see yourself as a soul with a body, rather than a body with a soul. So this part about sometimes it emerges spontaneously, we've all had these experiences, I think, where suddenly the best in you comes out. It happened to me about 2 years ago. I was driving my car, and right in front of me, this SUV starts flipping. It starts swerving back and forth, and then starts rolling over and over, in glass and noise and crash and people swerving and this car just bouncing, flipping over and over and crushing the top of the vehicle. And I felt this amazing energy come into my body. I didn't freak out. I didn't get scared. I became calm, so present. And I could feel love and compassion coming up in my heart. And it was so beautiful that when the car stopped flipping, I very precisely pulled my car over onto the edge, got out of my car, went over to where this vehicle was, and so beautifully, several people had gotten out of their cars and came around and began to put their hands up to redirect traffic. They were taking their life into their own hands. And suddenly, I saw truth about humanity, how compassionate people really are, and how much they really do love each other, and it brought it forth. And these people were holding the cars back so they wouldn't accidentally run over or bump into this thing. They're all holding a space, a big circle, a ring around this poor person in this car who'd been severely hurt. And I knew what to do. I went over to the car, and she was hanging upside down in the car. And I went over, and I moved her neck so she could breathe. And then we got a cell phone, so someone had called 911. I was just so calm, and I felt total love and compassion and presence and clarity. And I felt connected with all these other people in a field of compassion that was protecting this person. Somehow it just brought forth beautiful, essential quality of people in this moment. What she's saying is that we can invite it, do it consciously, as a way of staying tuned to what is our inner GPS all the time, and have that guide our lives. So, that's a lot. But now let's talk about when we lose our home frequency. What do we do? How do we get back home? This is what people are interested in, because we see ourselves get triggered or get caught up in depression or fear or scarcity or time scarcity or resource scarcity, all these kinds of things. And as soon as we do, we start suffering. We start missing our beautiful life. And we stop living in the now. Eckhart Tolle talks about the power of now. And this fear that gets going in us is always a projection of a catastrophic future. It makes us leave the now and start feeding this fear that is actually going to become an attractor for what you don't want. So when we notice we're getting caught up in that fear, depression, guilt, shame, what some people would call negative emotions, that's our GPS telling us we're focused on what we don't want and believing things that aren't true about ourselves and our world. So, what I'd like you all to do is, I want to show you a little tool for retuning myself back to my home frequency when I've lost it. But it's a way of self-empathy, a way of reminding myself of how I want to be thinking and how I want to direct my consciousness. We'll be getting into some more traditional kinds of self-empathy for pain and grieving and hurt and things like that at some point in the course. First, I just want to show you the most powerful tools I've found in my own life for redirecting my attention, trusting that probably some of you already know some of the NVC tools for self-empathy. What I want you to do is get out a piece of paper. What I want you to do on this sheet is to draw a big circle, big as the page can hold. Up at the very top of the page, above the circle if possible, I want you to write down some thought, some area of your life you'd like to develop, you'd like to grow, whether it's your relationship with money, your relationship with relationships. I heard people talk about their relationship with their work, talk about their relationship with their own sense of passion and motivation in their life. I heard people talk about their relationship with creativity. And what I want you to do is to write down kind of like the bottom line, like, love to have a job that has more meaning and purpose, but I don't have the education and training it would take. Or maybe it's about money. Love to have more money, but it seems like a lot of work to get it. Whatever statement it is that you can feel starts to kind of drop your frequency or isn't quite where you'd like it to be just yet. Maybe it would be useful too if some volunteer would raise their hand, and so I'd show you how to craft one of these sentences. Lynn Twist sometimes calls it a life sentence. We have certain life sentences that are really difficult for us. The big ones in my life that's been challenging is, I have a life sentence that was given to me from my family that says, it's all up to you. You're on your own, kid. Figure it out all by yourself and get it done all by yourself. So, it's all up to you. That life sentence has created more misery and loneliness and less than productive expressions of my life than most anything else. But I've been working on it and tweaking it, and I like where it's going now, and I like how I'm starting to manifest the community and the organization that I want. So is there anybody that'd be willing to be volunteer so I could show them how to craft that first sentence, the life sentence, on top of the circle before I show you how to tweak it? Great, thank you. So what general area is it?
Self-connection. My goal, my hope is to come from inside. as you were saying, you know, have the internal compass set, and yeah, this is what's right for me.
Don't have the internal compass yet, and this is what's right for you?
Yeah, you know, there's certainly been times where I've been in a place of mind where I just, you know, with no second guessing, it's just, this is what I'm doing.
You knew where you were and where you're going.
Yeah, and as I am getting older, second and third guessing and fourth guessing, and, you know, I'm not getting any closer to who I really am.
So there's a good line right there, so put that one at the top of the page. I'm not getting any closer, what'd you say?
Not getting any closer to who I really am.
Who I really am. So that's a good, that's kind of what I call the baseline. We have to start where we are. Now, without complaining about it, without so miserable about it, it's just
yep.
that I am where I am, you know?
Yep, accepting where I am. Right.
That's it. I am where I am. I don't have a penny in my pocket. If that's where you're at, then that's where you're at. There's no need to get into shame or misery about where you're at. It's just, I am where I am.
You know, as you're speaking that, maybe the other half of that challenge, if I could to express where I am or recognize where I am, it's easy to accept when, well, it's easier to accept when I have clarity about where I am. But being in the fog of unknowing.
So that's you're starting to work the focus wheel now. You're starting to do what I'm talking about.
Okay.
How to align myself to start to find my alignment with myself. So the first line, I like where you're going with this. The first line is, say it again.
I'm not getting any closer to who I really am.
Not getting any closer to who I really am. So that's a start. And then the next line is what you're talking about there. And then I start to go, I go to number one. I make a clock. I write down 12 numbers around the what we call a focus wheel. From Esther and Jerry Hicks's work, the focus wheel. And so, the focus wheel, and I start there. And then what were you saying about, and then,
if I can recognize where I am,
that helps
that makes it easier to accept.
So that's the first line, and this is the first step in your focus wheel is, if I can recognize where I'm at, that's a good start on the self-acceptance I'm looking for. That's the first step on the focus wheel. I start to look for any thought that brings a little bit of relief, a little bit of hope. And the key here is, only go for a little bit. Don't go for solving the whole enchilada. Just want to feel a little better, because if you go for something big like, I know who I am and where I'm going, your inner being will say bullshit.
Yeah.
It won't buy it, because it won't energetically fit. It won't feel true. You can't feel the truth of that. It doesn't uplift you any. So I only pick things that make me feel just a little bit better and move my frequency up a little bit, up the ladder of what I call the scale of vibrational frequency. Might start with a place like depression, and to move up the ladder, we may have to go through anger. We may have to go through frustration, overwhelmment, and these different things in order to start to climb the ladder of consciousness. So, as you're saying that, at least if I can identify what is going on with me, I can start to feel some self-acceptance. How does that feel when you think that?
Yeah, there's a little bit of clarity there.
A little bit of clarity. Now here's another line. Now we start looking for another thought. Like, well, I've made a little bit of clarity. Maybe I could make a little bit more. That one feel.
Yeah, sure. We're on our way.
We're on our way. So that's the next line. So now we're on our way toward clarity about who we are and where we're at and self-acceptance. And I start to look for any thought that feels good that's related to that. Maybe you can offer me one or two more, like...
Yeah, well, I'm talking to you and involved in this class.
Yeah, I'm doing something. I'm involved in the class. You're talking with me. Things are moving. Feeling some connection with your self-expression, perhaps?
It might be a stretch.
Stretch. So that will take you off the merry-go-round. So we don't go that far. We let that go. If it doesn't feel exciting and fit, we let it pass us by. Especially if it's any thought of complaining or fear or doubt or whining or victimization. Anything like that, we just notice it, oh yeah, that's one of those, I'm not keeping it. And I only write the ones down that feel like they support my coming clearer about what I want. They're only the ones that support me feeling what I want to be feeling is better. The direction is relief. The direction is joy. The direction is confidence. The direction is enthusiasm. Anything that brings in those kind of energies, I write down. Anything that triggers fear, doubt, worry, guilt, shame, I let go. It's a practice. I write down just one at a time, and when I get about 12, I see where I'm at. I go around the clock, 1 through 12, and see where it takes me. So what I want us to do is to take a few minutes right now and to do that. And I want to see if there's any questions about the focus wheel process before I turn you loose to do an exercise on your own. You write at the top whatever the life sentence was, where you're at, like there's not enough money on the planet, or there's no good men left, or whatever it is. And then I start to tweak it 1 through 12, 12 thoughts, ideas that bring me more into the feeling state I want to be in. What I mean by that is not what is real. I'm not trying to write down reality. I'm trying to write down imagination that hooks me up with possibility. It makes me feel better, not because reality is for people who can't handle imagination. I want to use my imagination to direct my attention in a way that gets me in touch with my essential self and my optimism and my hope and my possibility. Then I have the energy to do stuff to help my life get better. Questions about the process? We'll have about 7 minutes.
So we have a sentence, and then we just write down feelings about it.
No.
And keep track of what...
Let me show you a little different. Let me just do it with you. I think if I show you a little, it'll make it clearer for everyone. So what's your sentence? What's the starting sentence?
I'd love to have more friends.
Love to have more friends. But notice you could feel in that statement that you don't have as many as you want, and there's like a, you know, there's something lack that's built in.
Yeah.
You can energetically,
yeah.
You can hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Indication of a lack. Okay. So now I start to write down thoughts that uplift that lack feeling, change that lack feeling into a feeling of more warmth or of ease, of relaxation, of hope, of trust.
As related to friends in particular?
As related to friends. Yeah. As related to that subject of intimacy, friendship, connection. And it's got to be thoughts you believe. It can't be thoughts you don't believe. I'll offer you some possibilities, and you tell me if one fits or not. So I'm like,
giving
you garments, like a coat, but don't take the coat if it doesn't fit you.
And we write these in the box, or we write these in the circle?
Along the circle, 1 through 12, like a clock. So it's a wheel. So we're going to focus a wheel. So number one, let's start looking for. I do have at least one friend. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, so that's true. So I would write that down, especially if it makes me focus on direction that feels a little bit relieving, just softly, just baby steps. So that's true. So I do have at least one friend that I can call friend.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Now I look for another thought. I may not have all the friends I want, but I'm learning new skills and tools to feed the friendships that I want. Buy that one?
Wow, this is a really hard one for me because I just keep coming up with really good thoughts about this.
Well, that's part of the joy of this process. It starts to flush up and show you the energy, the thoughts that are stopping you from manifesting what you want to have.
No, I got that, but it's
actually
just like
recognize it better. Once you recognize it, then you can let it go and quit feeding it and quit being it.
Right.
It's actually what Eckhart Tolle describes as the beginning process of letting your ego fade away. You have to recognize thought before we can kind of let it go. He says ego is unexamined thought. But now as the thought comes up, we start to examine it. Oh, yeah, there's those thoughts that keep me feeling less than friendly.
So notice what thoughts come up and gauge them as either being uplifting or not.
That's it. You got it. And the ones that are not uplifting, you let them go. Wait for another one to come. You don't even feed it by talking about it. You don't beat the drum of it. You don't complain that, oh, shoot, I wish that thought wasn't there. Because in the attempt to deactivate it, you activate it. So I only want to give attention to and give a place on my focus wheel those thoughts which bring me toward energy and the possibility of what I am wanting. My temptation is to go into what I don't want. See, have you got another one that you can write down that would be in the direction of what you do want or how you do want to feel?
I'm fun to be around.
I'm fun to be around. I like being around me. I'm a fun person. I'm a mushroom. I'm a fun guy.
That's right.
But I'm a fun person. People like being around me. Now you're on the wheel, and you just keep going that way, and in a few minutes, you'll be on the merry-go-round of a fun ball of your own party with yourself. And when you are, you become a vibrational match for other partiers, and people want to be around you. Energy-wise, they'll want to connect with you, and you'll attract more friends. Minimum, you'll just feel better. And that's it. So everybody do that. Write down that top one, I don't have enough friends, and then start to find thoughts that work. Like, I have at least one friend that's okay, and I'm fun to be around, and people enjoy being around me. I can make good conversation with people. I know some people. I know resources. I know some ideas. I have some ideas on how to get connected with some more people. Maybe I could have a little potluck at my house and maybe invite a few, just two or three people that I feel resonance with, and maybe we could grow a little friendship circle starting with that, and maybe that would grow. Anyway, I use my imagination to direct my consciousness and attention back into a vibration that's more closely related to my home frequency. Okay, so you have about 6 minutes to do that, and then we'll come back and share about that.
If you'd like to participate in the practice exercise, please stop the recording now. Complete the exercise and then continue when you're ready.
Okay. Welcome back, everybody. Well, I'd like to hear what you got from that. What did you learn? Or where was it struggling? Or just any of the nuggets you may have gotten from that practice. What did you go through? I'd like to hear from you now, if anybody's willing to share. There's one more step to it, too, by the way, and I'm going to show you after we share a little bit.
Yeah, I found it to be nice and challenging, but I did, towards the end, have a breakthrough that what I was trying to solve is I'm not getting any closer to who I really am. And it wasn't the last one. It was close to the last one, and it's something to the effect of, I do know who I am. I don't trust it.
So you're starting to get consciousness around the mix of energies. Part of you that knows and a part of you that has distrust around it. Part of your, I would call it your discovery-uncovery process of yourself. And by the way, what you're talking about, profound in this sense that I'll just speak from my own inner experience with myself. There's kind of a joy and a love and a beauty and a possibility I feel within myself, and I'm terrified to trust it because what if it goes away? What if it turns out not to be real or something like that? And so I don't let myself really feel the fullness of it. I think there's quite a few people who are in that boat with us, being scared to allow something so beautiful to become conscious of it because I don't want to lose it.
Appreciating your putting words to that, Kelly.
Actually, I was listening to Abraham, the person who designed this process, talk about that very thing. A lot of us in this world would dream beautiful dreams or open our hearts to beautiful relationships or beautiful possibilities, except that we're scared somebody's going to take it from us. So we cut ourselves off at the pass and we don't trust. It's part of your process, too. Is that all for you?
Yeah, I'm complete.
Thank you. Who else we got?
Well, my clock has like 14 o'clock on it.
Okay, good. That's great.
I noticed as I got toward the end, my sentences were starting off with, I enjoy. Like, I enjoy accepting people as they are, and I enjoy learning about people. But it was when my sentences changed from I am such and such way or to just what I enjoyed, that I was sort of able to imagine being in the experience more. And I was also appreciating letting go of the downer thoughts and how they get in the way. Giving focus to the downer thoughts was getting in the way of me enjoying the uplifting thoughts. And I thought, wow, I would love to talk to a person who is having these kinds of uplifting thoughts if they're feeling so good when they have these uplifting thoughts.
They would infect you. It's infectious, and we want to get infected with those kinds of diseases, not diseases. Yeah. Yeah, you could see already how it would bring you into a more attractive energy.
Yeah. So I have a question about this. So this isn't the frequency exercise. This is a something else exercise, right?
Well, it's all related. You know, it is two different bodies of work. Mary Pierce mm-hmm. has one work that's on home frequency and how to find a connection to your basic, most essential home frequency. And this is more about like lifting your vibration, just moving you up the vibrational ladder, but they both lead towards kind of a home port. And the last step on the focus wheel, which I'm going to get to now, just talk about briefly, is at the end of my cycle of my 12 thoughts, or 14 if you do overtime, is I try to find something that really affirms my stand. I take a stand like, I am fun to be around, or I do have something beautiful inside of me, or I am a resourceful person. Something that I can kind of anchor is strong for me. Like, I do have enough time to get done what I need to get done. I end on a final statement, and I put that in the middle, right across the middle of the focus wheel, and I draw arrows from all of those thoughts in towards this central thought, this central final kind of culmination of my process, which stakes a claim for a thought that I do want to affirm. When I had the other day, thought things were going awry, I had a little rap song thought came to my head, which was, and I wrote it down in the middle of my focus wheel, you know, of my consciousness, which was, everything's a part of the divine design, even when the picture doesn't fit my mind. And that kind of helped me stay in touch with faith, confidence. So that's the home frequency angle on it. The final step in the focus wheel is to lay claim to something, something you're wanting to strengthen and firm up and live more fully. But what would yours be?
I enjoy accepting people as they are.
Oh, beautiful.
The one that kind of, that was the strongest one for me.
Isn't that a beautiful thought? I enjoy giving people the acceptance, or I enjoy accepting people just the way they are. Beautiful thing. Now, if you're emanating that kind of energy, you will need to hire yourself a secretary of love just to
keep
track of all your appointments and things, to manage all your friends and contacts and people who will want to be with you.
Yeah, that's the one.
There's one more hand, I think.
I thought this was quite a challenge, actually. My goal sentence, so to speak, was that I'd love to live my present fully conscious of all that's alive in me, and perhaps a bit off too much. This is the more important statement, is knowing how to share it with those close to me.
You're wanting to live fully in your present, express that, and then sounds like a very strong importance to you is being able to share that with people you're close with.
Yes. So some of the things that I came up with were, I do find myself stopping me saying, you know, let's just enjoy this right now.
That's reality. What I'm trying to get you to focus on is not reality, because if you stay focused on reality, you'll stay stuck there. What I'm trying to get you to focus on is not what is, but what could be, what you want to be. Or if it is any piece of reality, it's a piece that makes your heart sing, not kind of sink. Lots of things that are reality that don't feel good that you could think about, you know, if you started thinking about the war in Afghanistan or whatever. And even though it's reality, you'll start to feel bad about it. If you can think about or focus your attention on that which you're trying to move towards, or only the reality pieces that inspire you?
I guess I was thinking more along the lines of being in the moment with me, not necessarily what's going on externally.
Yes, wonderful.
You know, around the world, but just being in the moment with me.
As you're being in the moment with the me that you, the essential me, so this is an aspiration you're having. Right, about being just in the moment with you?
Right. And some of the things that I came up with is that I know that I am capable of feeling something right now. You know, noticing the feelings and the sensations and everything right now.
I like that. I like that affirmation. I know that I can feel what's alive in me right now. I know I can be present to my present feelings. And so when you're thinking that, how does that feel?
It feels very light. It feels
very
good.
Very light. That's the direction. That's the direction. We're moving towards enlightenment. Not enlightenment. That's too heavy.
Right. Okay.
Too hard. That's what people want to sacrifice life. I want enlightenment. Just lighter. Just a little more ease with it. A little more play. A little more attention to our crown chakra. To open our crown chakra up so we can become lighter. That's the direction. And anything that supports that feeling and that lighterment, that's the way towards everything that I think you want. When you're lighter and you're not taking yourself so seriously and you're not so heavy, then you can stay in the present. Heaviness only comes from projecting a scary future or remembering a rotten past. But the lighterness, where light exists, is now in this playful moment. That's when I feel my lightest and I feel my most powerful, is when I'm in lightness of being, the incredible lightness of being, playfulness. When I'm in play, when I'm in a workshop and everybody's getting angry at everybody and getting ready to throw chairs, if I'm in a playful, light place, I can dance with it and bring it back into harmony with harmony.
Well, and I think one of those things that, you know, that I did come up with is I do think I'm able to laugh at myself.
That's wonderful quality. That's part of the absurdiveness training, where you don't get even, you get odd, and you just laugh at yourself.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. And you know what? That'll certainly help you stay in the moment. Because it's hanging on to stuff and getting ego involved and getting so upset about it all that keeps you ruminating about the past, pasteurizing. But when you can laugh and go, oh, look, it's silly me. I pushed the wrong button on the elevator once again. How funny what I did. Instead of, oh, what a jerk I am and how stupid I am. And then you bring all that toxic thought and energy into your vibration. It takes months to clean up.
Right.
Yeah, I like it. I do think it's a key. I think you stumbled energetically and maybe home frequency onto a key for yourself. If you can laugh at yourself and be silly and be light and let things go, I think you'll stay much closer to the present.
Okay. Right.
Good. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
One more? Hand up.
Mine was, I have no power. So I went around that I want to show up and I can stay in touch with my feelings and needs. And then when I wrote down, I can say no without feeling guilty, I was like, no, I can't do that.
Okay, you're not ready to go there yet.
Right.
That's how wonderful that you're honest with yourself. And you even can feel and be in touch with yourself enough to know that that's bullshit. That, you know, it's not real for you just yet.
Right. So I just went back to something that would be easier for me, just to like, stay in touch with my feelings and needs.
Wonderful. I like that you're staying in touch with yourself and true to yourself. You can't pull the wool over your own eyes, really. Wonderful. So that took self-awareness. Notice your energy inside your body. See that.
That's good. Thanks.
Well, let's start to move towards closure. I have a little piece of homework. One is to finish your focus wheel by putting that statement in the middle. Whatever it is, like the last one, I can stay in touch with my feelings and needs. I know how to do that. I'm fun to be around. I'm a fun guy. So finish that up. But then also, I'd like you all to consider starting what I call a morning time practice. I want to tell you a little bit more about what a morning time practice is. It's your creation. You have to find something to do. And I like to do it first thing in the morning, but if you have to do it in the afternoon or whatever. But some period of time where the sole purpose is to develop a relationship with your soul, yourself, your home frequency, your heart, essential being. There's 1,000 names for it. And there's lots of techniques and ways to do it. I'm going to tell you a couple, and then you can choose to do it how you want. One thing I do every day is I write letters. I'll write a letter to Dear One. Or Dear Source, or Dear Divine Intelligence, or Dear Cosmic Consciousness, or whatever Dear starts to help me feel like I'm really communicating with something. I'll write a letter. I'll express whatever comes up in me, whatever my gratitudes are, whatever my wants are, whatever my passions are. I start to build a relationship with this power. That starts to tune me in somehow to something profound. I start to feel it within myself. So that's a technique, letters. And I'll even have that source or oneness right back to me. Dear little Kelly, the key to letting go of anxiety is refusing to engage in scarcity thoughts, in thoughts of not having enough time. It'll ask you to answer me. So you can have a little conversation with yourself and your source that way. That can help. The other techniques I use are things like I'll just journal about what's alive in me, what's going on, what am I feeling and needing and wanting. Other techniques are just listening to really inspiring music like I was playing for you a while ago. And it just soothes me or my soul food of some kind. Or I might read a book like Inspiration. There's a book called Inspiration by Neil Donald Walsh. And I'll just read that and let it, even 10, 15 minutes, if I can have that much time to read in a centered way, I start to feel the inspiration come from inside me. Other things are yoga and stretching, something that feels good for my body. Whatever it is, though, it has to be something you look forward to getting out of bed for. Wake up and you go, oh yeah, I'm going to go and take a walk in the park, just like I love to do. Or I'm going to go and I'm going to write down 10 gratitudes. Just feel into the energy of the gratitude. Or I'm going to go and I'm going to write a script. I'm going to be a screenplay writer of my life for the day, and I'm going to write out the most perfect day possible and how wonderful it will be, and just write and enjoy that energy of that. Or I'm going to go just to take a real long, luxurious shower and just indulge myself in feeling good that way. Whatever it is, some vitamin T, vitamin touch, anything, but it's got to put you in touch with joy, possibility, upliftment, essential being, your essential self. I do actually believe this, that joy is the backdrop of existence. Minus the mind chatter, the truth of my consciousness is kind of a grateful presence. I like to spend time each day at least hitting the tuning fork for that presence. And if I do that, it changes my whole day. I become a point of attraction for things that are in harmony with a joyful, lifting, optimistic vibration instead of fearful and, you know, depressing, whatever other kind of stuff I can get into if I don't. So I'm recommending that each of you start a morning practice, or at least a remembering practice that you do each day, even if only for 10 minutes. Even that will start to shift the direction of your taking conscious control and become a deliberate creator of your vibration and your frequency. That's your homework, should you choose to accept it. And if you don't, there will be no punishment, except you miss out on the experience. So I'm going to close with a song then. This is the final song that I'm going to play you a piece of. And the name of the song is, Heaven is not a place that you go to, oh no. Heaven is just a place that you notice, oh yeah. Heaven is not a place that you go to, oh no. Heaven is just a place that you notice, oh yeah. So that's about tuning into that home frequency, and I find heaven within my own heart. Then I can express out from there. Very, very different way. So here's the song. Okay, here we go.
Heaven is not a place you go to, oh no. Heaven is just a place that you notice, oh yes. Heaven is not a place that you go to, oh no. Heaven is just a place that you notice, oh yes. Heaven is not a place that you go to, oh no.
Thank you. can go to. Oh, no, heaven is just a place that you notice. Oh, yes.
I like that one line about, you ask how can you live more in the moment. I tell you, you already do, but you just haven't noticed. Good night, everybody.